What I'm going to say tonight, you should already know. But it's very simple. We're going to talk about Christ and his relationship to the church. And we know the scripture gives us a whole lot to talk about. And a whole lot about Jesus and his relation to the church. And we're going to see how important Christ is to the church. So, as we're looking, and one of the errors of modern religious teaching is to try and remove or distance Christ from the church. And each of the various denominations, they want to separate themselves from Christ. And it's really strange, even though they feel they're part of Christ in the overall scheme of things, they really want to distance themselves from Christ because, according to some of them, Christ was wrong, Christ wasn't very tolerant, and Christ did not know what he was talking about. If you can believe, people would say that. But they are bold enough to say that. They are bold enough to say that the Bible is obsolete and no longer relevant to us in the 21st century. So it's no wonder that they turn around and say, well, Christ isn't important. And a lot of groups will say that. Of course, some religious groups, they don't even recognize Christ as being deity. So their idea of Christ is, well, he wasn't that important. We know that this comes from Satan, because Satan's goal is to keep us out of heaven. If that's the only thing we know about Satan, he wants to keep us out of heaven. So when that happens, he's happy. And if he can keep people out of heaven, either through deception or false teaching or getting them through temptation to sin, he's going to keep them out of heaven. The only people Satan doesn't like are those who stand to the truth of God's word. And so we know Satan will use anything in his toolbox to keep you out of heaven. And we've talked about his toolbox before. He will use whatever he can. If he can come out and frontally attack you and get you to cave in, that's fine. If he has to come in subtly through devious methods, that's what he will do also. And Satan uses people to promote Christ but ignore the church. And so that's what this teaching does. It promotes Christ, everything about Christ, but he has nothing to do with the church. So he says church is not important. You don't have to go to church in order to go to heaven and things like that. Well, we're going to see otherwise. As we will see, you cannot have one without the other. Christ and the church are one and the same, as we're going to find out. Now, his relationship to the church, there's about 12 points we're going to make, and you should know these things. Christ built the church. We know that, Matthew 16:18. And I also say unto thee that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so, second, Christ purchased the church. He purchased it, and says in Acts 20:28, Paul says, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit hath made you bishops or overseers to feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. So he built it and he purchased it. So that tells you something about his relationship to the church. Third, we can see Christ is the Savior of the church. And we read that in Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is head of the wife, and Christ also is head of the church, being himself the Savior of the body. And then fourth, Christ washed and purified the church. And of course we read this in Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of water with the word. And so as we continue to see this, there's more that Christ has done. He sanctified the church. And that basically says, Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of water with the word. Same verse explains both these principles. And of course, we know sanctify means to be set apart for a purpose. And we'll see later what it is to be separated from and for what purpose that we separate. Six, Christ glorified the church. Just as Christ is to be glorified, so he has glorified the church. Ephesians 5:27. that he might present the church to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now we'll just take a moment here. How can we have a church or a congregation of people that is without blemish when we're all people that sin? We do sin from time to time. How is that possible? Well, it's because of what Christ wanted. When we start doing and following the teaching of Christ, then we are going to be cleansed. We are going to be purified. And we will be without spot or blemish. And we just have to work hard to make sure we keep it that way. All right, seventh, Christ loves the church. He loves it so much. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it. That's what he did. Of course, we know he died for this church. He purchased it with his blood, which basically that's the symbolism of his blood being shed. So he purchased it through his death. And eighth, Christ is head of the church. We read that there is no other head. Christ is the only head of the church. Now you start talking with other religious people, and they're going to tell you other things. They're going to tell you other people are head of the church. You know, you ask any Roman Catholic, who's head of the church? Well, it's not Christ. You know who I'm talking about. They say it's the Pope is the head of the church. And how did he become the head of the church? Because he was voted in. That's how. I mean, that really doesn't make any sense. In Colossians 1:18, here's what the scripture says. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And so Christ is the head of the church. There is no other. We read that in other passages as well. He's head over all things to the church. Here we read this in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And he, God, put all things in subjection under his, Jesus' feet, and gave him, Jesus, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the body of Christ, the fullness of him, the Godhead, that filleth all in all. And tenth, Christ is the foundation of the church. He's the very foundation, being found as the chief cornerstone, in fact. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. As we continue to read the scriptures, we find that the teaching and doctrine of Christ is based upon his teaching and the apostles' teaching that was given to us. And we read Ephesians 4, we find out the Holy Spirit helped them help the early church as well when he gave them as the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and teachers. He gave them all for the building up of the body, for the equipping of the saints. That's what he did. 11th, Christ adds the saved to the church. You know, we hear from the denominational world, join the church of your choice. Now, when they say that, basically what they're saying is one group is as good as another. That's what they're saying. Even though they teach different doctrines, they teach things that are contrary to what one might believe, but yet, oh, we're all the same. We're all equal in this. We're all part of the grand body of Christ. What that tells me is they have no faith. They don't believe that their doctrine, their faith, their principles, their creed that they live by, they don't believe it is sufficient. When they can say, they might say one thing in their teaching, but then somebody else teaches something different, and it's no different. So really, their faith does not matter to them. And you'll find most people in denominations, their faith does not really matter, at least when it comes from a doctrinal standpoint. The reason they hold to their particular faith is because mama was part of that faith, or grandma taught them about that faith, or maybe they had a friend or a spouse that they married that was part of that faith. When it comes to faith in God, they have none. And it's quite obvious. See, Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to them day by day those that were saved. The Lord adds us to the church. We don't join the church. The Lord adds us to the church. And we covered this in our study of denominationalism. And 12th, Christ will save the church. And when I say the church, I'm not talking about the grand scheme of Christendom all over the world where all these different groups think they're part of Christ. No, he will only save the church, those who are in the church. And the only people in the church are the faithful of God. Ephesians 5:23, husband head of the wife and Christ also head of the church, being himself the savior of the body. So he's going to save the church. Jesus means everything to the church, and thus he should mean everything to us. He is my everything. He is my all. There's a song in one of the old song books talking about Jesus. He is my everything. And when we think about it, I mean, the words of that song are just really on point. Jesus should be everything to us. He should be the one we have our faith in. He should be the one that we rely upon to provide our salvation. And he should mean everything to us, and he should mean everything to the church. And those who teach you can have a relationship with Christ and not the church are lying, and they are the servants of Satan. You know, we heard hear the phrase years ago, preach the man and not the plan. In other words, preach about Christ, but don't preach what he taught. You don't have to do what he taught. You just have to believe in the man as being the Son of God. And of course, that is error. That is falsehood. But yet, many people believe it. Many people have been deceived into that. And of course, that's the work of Satan, right? Because Satan is the great deceiver. He is the father of lies. And if you can tell people lies to keep them out of heaven, and people have no interest in maybe checking out for themselves, but take whatever somebody tells them, well, they're not going to heaven. Satan's happy about that. Therefore, to be in Christ, we must separate ourselves from the world and the denominations. We have to come out and be separate. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Come out and be ye separate from them. For what relationship hath Christ with Belial? And what relationship hath light with darkness? What relationship has sin with evil? They're totally opposite things. They should not have a relationship. And the sad thing is, many people who claim to be part of the church, they're hanging on to that stuff. The stuff that Jesus denounces, the stuff that God says and considers an abomination, they don't want to give it up. James has a warning for them, James 4:4. Whoever would be a friend to the world makes himself an enemy of God. And as we said this morning, and we taught in our lesson about the glory of God, our purpose in the church is to glorify God in all things. 1 Peter 4:11, whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. It is through Christ that we glorify God. That's what our lesson was about this morning from Ephesians chapter 3. The world says we must separate Christ from the church. And the reason is because they don't want to tolerate his teaching. So Christ is the Son of God. That's all you need to know. You don't have to know that Christ said, if you'll follow my commandments and do my commandments, you are my children indeed. My sheep hear my voice and I know them, for they follow me. Whoever does my commandments does the commandments of God. Jesus said those things. But that's too much for a lot of people. They like John 3:16. Whosoever believes shall have everlasting life. But they don't like John 3:36. Whoever believes has everlasting life, but he who does not obey the Son does not have life. They kind of ignore that. They pick and choose what they want to follow and believe. The Bible teaches Christ is the church. He's everything about the church. What relationship he has to the church is everything. What he has done, he built it, he bought it, he purchased it, he died for it, he lived for it, he cleansed it, he sanctified it, all these things that he did. Christ is the church. Why? Because the church is his body. Those in the church are in Christ. And of course, we know from Ephesians 1:3, that's where all spiritual blessings are. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you don't have any spiritual blessings. Now, I know we go around all day long and somebody says, "How are you doing today?" "Oh, I'm blessed." And people say that all the time. And they may be, and they're really, a lot of times, they're just as wicked as can be, and yet they say, "Oh, I'm blessed." And a lot of people, even though they might be believers in Christ, and they might be good moral people, if they're not obeying Christ, according to what the Scripture says, then they're not in Christ. There's only one way to get into Christ. And you see, here's where they'll disagree with you. They will say all you have to do is believe, and you have Christ already. The Bible says he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Baptism puts us into Christ. We're all baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13 tells us that. We're baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection, which is the core of the gospel. In Romans chapter 6 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us that. We're baptized into Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27 tells us that. See, only in Christ does one get to have spiritual blessings. You can't find them anywhere else. You can't find them in the denominations. You cannot find it in your everyday life unless you are serving him his way. So the question is, are you in Christ? And have you failed Christ? That's something why we have to examine ourselves. With 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 tells us, "Test yourselves, examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Or do you not recognize this about you, that Jesus Christ is in you?" We need to understand that. And we need to evaluate our faith all the time. A lot of times, once we decide, "Well, I'm going to go with the Church of Christ because they're right." And if you don't develop your faith, you probably have no reason to examine it. What do I believe? And why do I believe? And all it takes is some smooth-talking person to get you to doubt what you believe. Doesn't take much. If they're very convincing, there's all sorts of people like that. They can tell you all sorts of things and tell you how, "Oh yeah, you can do it this way." False doctrine has permeated even the Church of Christ in many places in this land and around the world. There's people teaching that there's no such thing as an eternal torment called hell. They're teaching that Christ came back in 70 AD and he's not coming again. So really what they're saying is we don't have anything to live for. And how depressing can that be? You wonder why, if they have nothing to live for, why are they wasting their time going to church? That's something you have to wonder. See, Jesus offers everyone the blessed invitation. He really does. He said, "Come to me, learn of me, abide with me." Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all you that labor weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me," as he says. Hebrews 4:7. "He again defineth a certain day, today, saying in David, so long a time afterward, even as hath been said before, today if ye shall hear his voice, harden not your hearts." That's what was said many, many years ago. As Moses told the people, don't harden your hearts against God. 2 Corinthians 6:2, "For he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Every day for the Christian is a day of salvation. It's a day where we can enjoy the salvation that we have as long as we are confident we are following God's word to the best of our ability. It is the day of salvation. And if you have failed Christ, if you have turned your back on him, you can get right with him once again, and you can honestly say then, yes, today is the day of salvation. As long as we serve God each and every day, it is our day of salvation. And we have the hope to look forward to through Christ that we're going to be welcomed in when we stand before God and hear those words, "Welcome in, thou good and faithful steward." We have to be actively involved in serving Christ in order to happen. Just going to church occasionally does not make that happen. We've got to do this on a daily basis. So that's the lesson this evening. Like I said, most of this stuff you probably have heard many, many times before, and you need to basically reinforce, yes, I really do believe that, and continue to do those things. So we're going to offer the invitation. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.